Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Oh, welcome to the Rosecast. I'm your host, Tim Kennedy. With me, as always, distinguished bachelor scholar, acclaimed bachelor critic, esteemed bachelor academic, Alex Bradford, AB.
Yes, sir.
What's up, man?
Not much. How's it going?
What'd you think of this week's episode? Quick one-liner, AB's thoughts.
I'm getting worried Rachel's not going to find love, Rim.
I feel like that's kind of a recurring theme on these episodes. Well, no, I tend to agree with you. There doesn't seem to be a lot of catches here. And if you expand the contestant pool of all men, married, single, or otherwise, in the world, I don't know if any of them would be good enough for Rachel, AB.
It's a good point.
Anyway, thank you for making us part of your bachelor consumption. We appreciate you listening. AB, are you ready to get right into the confrontation in the driveway? A lot of shit went down in the driveway this week.
A lot of driveway stuff going on, Rim. Let's do it.
Last episode, you remember DeMario came back. Little producer situation. I don't know why he thought... She already told him off once in the afternoon. I don't know why he came back and thought she wasn't going to do the same thing to him again 4 hours later. Did you like how Chris Harrison kind of kept the guys back? Like, hey, guy, watch out, fellas.
Hey, man, fellas, back up. Give them space. Fellas. Let's give these guys some space.
Chris Harrison's LinkedIn is bachelor host. Responsibilities include I bring the date cards... and prevent like 30-1 fights from taking place. Those are his two responsibilities.
Make sure there's no mob fights.
Small group versus one guy is fine. Huge group versus one guy. Hey, fellas, let's come on. Let's be adults here. But anyway, Rachel, for whatever reason, wanted to hear him out. She wanted to hear DeMario out. And now we predicted last episode correctly that Rachel was going to let him do his little spiel and then she was going to shut him down. I think we all knew that was... Anybody who thought that was something else was going to happen was out of their minds.
Halfway through the speech, though, Rim, I thought she might. There might be a chance they let her on. Let him on just for fun.
No, dude, her face was a noble... I'm not here for the bullshit face from start to finish throughout the speech.
I didn't think that she would actually want him to come back, but I thought maybe the producers would let him back.
You know, I have a feeling Rachel is engaging in some give and take with the producers. Like, she gets to, she's not trying to play all these games with these producers, but she'll let them do some of them. For instance, keeping Waboom on night one. She's like, all right, fine, I'll keep Waboom on night one, but you got to let me get rid of X, Y, and Z. Or you got to, you know, not play me with this surprise comeback stuff. Anyway, DeMario, classic DeMario mistake. He's talking too much in the spiel. He does admit he wasn't, quote, 100% truthful about the Lexi situation. Another way to interpret that is, I lied. You could have just said that, DeMario.
Yeah.
like you said, halfway through the speech, it seemed, you know, maybe okay. But then he just kept going on and on. He was pulling out fucking quotes, inspirational quotes. He's talking about how he was trying to position it like this was like the turning point in a rom-com. He was like, I talked to my Uber driver and I told him I'm coming to get you. And she's like, all right, you know, let me just
fuck off, bud.
Let me just cut you off.
He says, in ordering In order to experience joy, you have to experience pain, Rim. All right, fucking cut it with the bullshit, DeMario.
You guys barely know each other. We're sick of it. You guys barely know each other. It's like he Googled, like, what to do when your girlfriend, what to say when your girlfriend breaks up with you. I'm like, well, she's known you for 4 days, DeMario. Anyway, we're going to play the Rachel clip here because the speech from Rachel, thinking on her feet, by the way, she didn't plan for this. There are too many good quotes for us to repeat, so we'll just run it back.
And when I met you, my entire life changed, and I do give you that.
And 100%. I'm not saying that what you're saying is not true. I just need you to understand, I need a man who, when they're confronted with a difficult situation, they don't start lying about it. I need someone who owns their mistakes when they're presented to them.
I agree.
Gave you time after time after time standing in that gym looking like a damn fool. Yeah. To give you an opportunity to explain yourself. Right. And to be honest with you, if you had been like, you know what, Rachel, I f***ed up. Yeah. This is what the situation was right before I got here, but this is why I did it.
Right.
You honestly probably would be in the mansion right now.
Yeah.
But that's not what you did. And what I saw in the gym yesterday, that was a boy. I'm looking for a man. And I feel like I have some amazing men in that house who are here for me. So I'm glad that you've realized that you should move forward, but I need you to know that forward isn't that way to the mansion.
Okay.
Forward is outside of it. So I'm glad that this has been a life lesson. I'm glad that you gave me the quote about the joy and the pain. And I hope that the pain that you've gotten from this gives you joy somewhere else. It's just not here right now. Thank you.
Basically, Rachel says, you know, good quotes and all that, that's fine, but turn your ass around. You're not coming back up the driveway. DeMario seems like the type of guy who's always been able to talk his way out of a situation.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And met his match in Rachel. Hey, fellas, take note. You got anything else on Rachel giving him the boot again?
She basically was like, I'm glad you gave a little bullshit quote, and I'm glad you came here, and you might be able to move forward with your life, but you're not, you're not moving forward through this mansion in me.
Very impressive, given that she did not, 5 minutes earlier, she had no idea she was going to have to confront this man. It's what we've come to expect from her. Well, that's that. Goodbye to Mario forever, AB. We both thought he was going to go deep. Good-looking guy.
Charisma.
Charisma.
Wow.
All right, let's go back in the house. Before we get to Blake and Waboom, we got a couple interactions that I think might deserve a little bit of attention.
It's Rose Night, Rim. I forgot that coming into the episode. I forgot they didn't even have a rose ceremony again.
Okay, I hate when they have rose ceremonies at the beginning of episodes.
It happened all season last year with Nick.
Yes.
And this is the problem. Once they get off by like one episode, it's the whole season's going to be this way, because this episode we didn't get the ending rose or the rose ceremony either.
It's true. You're not going to get it. They're never going to do two in one, and they're never going to have a beginning rose ceremony, a rose ceremony at the beginning of an episode, followed by an episode with no rose ceremony, followed by, you know, three quarters of an episode with no rose ceremony. And then like they will never have that big of a gap.
We're never getting back on schedule that we all want.
Everybody, I get why they do it. It kind of mixes the shit up, so you never know what's coming. I don't know. But to me, the rose ceremony should be the most dramatic 6 minutes on television. And that doesn't work when it's light outside while I'm watching it. You know what I mean? It needs to be the last thing that happens in the night, and I'm tired of it.
Yep. I feel ya.
Anyway, all right. Jonathan, Tickle Monster, Big Hands thing. This too late in the game to be pulling these gimmicks, bud. I don't know.
So the Tickle Monster brought out some gimmick Big Hands to tickle with for him. Somehow he got even creepier than when he started.
I can't believe how long and deep and the Tickle Monster joke is going. Like, even Ellen was like, you're the Tickle Monster. Everybody knows him as the Tickle Monster. Folks, he's a fucking pediatrician. He went to med school. No one knows that. And he's playing into it.
That's why he's going home. He's a joke.
Yeah,
he's a joke.
The guy's deep in the friend zone at this point. I mean, Rachel's a really good sport about all this gimmicky stuff, and she's genuinely laughing at it. But there's starting to become clear delineation between contenders and friend zone guys.
Yeah,
guys she probably will keep around because they're fun fellas.
I thought around. Jonathan had a very bad episode.
Yes, he did. he really did.
Came off bad.
Yeah,
every step of the way.
Alex, the Russian guy, did a Rubik's Cube while talking to her. You know, that might work on some girls. I don't know if she's into it. Kenny.
The legend.
Kenny, you're the best. But with the daughter photos, it's too much. This is, I think, the third or fourth time we've seen Kenny have one-on-one time with her, and all the times thus far have been the daughter talk.
Listen, Rim, I knew you were going to say something like this.
It's too much.
I knew you were going to say something about my man, Kenny.
Get to know her.
Kenny is here for love, Rim. And if you want to love Kenny, you got to love everything about him, including his daughter. And that's the most important thing in his life. So yeah, it's going to get brought up every time, Rim.
So we're both Kenny apologists.
Yes.
And you just made the quintessential Kenny apologist argument. And it's fair. It's right. I get it. But at a certain, he's positioning himself inadvertently as like the hot married guy that all the women have a crush on, that like all the other girls are really close friends with, but he's not. I mean, obviously he's not married. My point is like, oh, okay, that's cool. You're such a great father, but like, I'm actually going to go suck face with Brian because we got a crazy passionate love over here. You're great, Kenny. You're a sweet guy. When you love someone like I love Kenny, you got to give him the tough talk sometimes.
At the end of the day, though, Rim, whose motives and whose goals are the same as Rachel's? I think it's Kenny.
What do you mean?
His everything he wants in life and how serious he's taken this, it aligns perfectly with what Rachel's looking for.
I don't know about that. I don't think Rachel wants a 10-year-old.
Nah, she might.
No. All right. Anyway, we'll talk more about Kenny. Kenny owned kind of the second half of the episode.
Kenny.
Or the middle third, we'll say. Shout out to Will. Will, hey. Hey, wake
out
up.
Of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Wake up, everybody. We were sleeping on Will. It's time to take wake notice.
Will, listen. Will's got a little personality. He's loose. He's getting the kisses in. He's got the lines. He's got the cheesy lines that make her really laugh. Oh, boy. Sneaky potential here. All right. And finally, Blake versus Waboom. Let's do this, and then we'll go to the rose ceremony. What happened here? What story did Waboom make up or not make up about Blake standing over him? He was acting like it was like borderline sexual harassment.
Yeah.
I can't even reiterate what happened. It was so confusing to me.
It just goes back to Lucas is not funny. I mean,
no.
This had to have been him trying to be funny. What other... Like what was the game? What was the end result goal you were looking for by telling this made up, completely fabricated story? I mean, we can all agree that this didn't happen, right?
Oh, absolutely. for a stand up comedian, Lucas is really shitty at thinking on his feet.
Yeah.
The only reason so Rachel didn't interpret anything he was saying as a joke. So she asked him, okay, is this a joke? And he panicked. He was like, oh no. I mean, obviously it was a joke. It was definitely.
Obviously. A
joke. But he goes, no, totally serious. So Rachel goes, talks to Blake about it. Blake, when confronted with two facts, or two alleged facts, standing over his bed while he's sleeping and licking a banana, Blake decides to, instead of being like, haha, those are both wrong, I don't know what's going on, he's like, first of all, I don't eat bananas. I don't eat bananas because they're carbs and I'm on some diet or something else. He didn't deny that he was creepily standing over Waboom's bed. He's much more concerned about, okay, actually, I don't eat bananas and you shouldn't either.
Somehow Blake made me think that maybe the story is true by how he handled it.
He didn't confirm or deny the story. I was like, wait, did you stand over his bed then?
Were you standing over his bed, yes or no? Flat out.
Weird. Let's go to the rose ceremony. So it's pretty, I'll name off the roses. Okay. It's pretty clear in these instances that we've got tension between two people. One of y'all has to go. That's how these go, right? When there's two people who hate each other, the bachelor bachelorette has to pick one. That's the big dramatic thing. One of them's got to go. Roses, Brian, Bryce, forgot he was there.
Blockhead.
Eric, Blockhead Bryce.
Mm-hmm.
Lego Bryce. Eric, Anthony, Will, who drops his second fired line of the night with "You Know I Will."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jonathan, Tickle Monster Jonathan. Jack Stone. Matt.
Old man Alec, Matt.
Old man Matt. Matt was not, this was Matt's 1 second of screen time when he got his rose.
Yep.
Alex. Adam. Also forgot Adam was there.
Yep. I always forget about him. He's the one who brought the doll, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Kenny.
The legend.
Who probably put the first nail in his own coffin when he came with, I mean, you can't beat "You Know I Will," and then he drops "How Kenny Say No." Boo!
As soon as you heard Will do a play on his name, you gotta scrap it. You can't have two people doing that in one episode.
I don't think he was planning to do the "How Kenny Say No" until he heard Will. I think he tried to piggyback on the rage because he saw her reaction. She's like, "All right, let me drop this. How can he say no?" But it did not hit.
Come on, Kenny.
Brady. Really, truly forgot Brady was there. I think last episode you were like, "Are Bryce and Brady still there?" And I'm like, "No." I told you firmly they weren't. Lee. Iggy. Fred, there was a time there where you thought Fred was looking sad, but he got a rose.
I see you, Fred.
So now it's down to Jamie, Blake, Waboom, and Diggy. AB, Diggy gets the rose. Both of the D-bags are now gone, Blake and Waboom. Were you surprised by that?
I wasn't surprised at all, Rim. I mean, it's one thing when it's like you have this person that everyone hates and is a joke character, and then there's someone against them and they're all right, but Blake is terrible himself. He might be worse. Like, which one are you get? Obviously you're getting rid of Waboom, but Blake might have been worse than Waboom.
Waboom's annoying, but he's nice. Blake is annoying and he's mean.
Yeah.
Like, they're both bad. Like, so you're
what
saying
qualities would you keep Blake around for?
I don't know. I mean, he's not even that. My sister said he looked like one of those guys. He looked like someone who's in a Mormon, like the Sister Wives type of shit. Where you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he does. I don't know. Blake's mouth, he's always like slightly frowning. He has a resting bitch face. Blake does. He's always kind of slightly frowning too, and he's always pissed off about something. The answer is I don't know. I don't know why you would keep either of them. But I don't know. I thought she was going to keep one of them because that's how it usually goes. So you're saying this wasn't like an Alex and...
That's who I was thinking of. Chad and Alex.
Chad and Alex JoJo's season.
Wasn't one of them where it's, you know, you had to get rid of one of them. You can just get rid of both and you'll be A-OK, Rachel.
Could you imagine a two-on-one date with those two?
They should have saved them and then sent them both home that way.
Oh,
both
that
go
would
home
have been
on the 2-on-1.
You could not have beat that. Hey, producers, if you're listening,
come on,
free ideas here. Rim and AB.
That being said, I've never been felt more shameful than when I was watching what they did in the driveway.
The driveway scene. This was a great. I mean, it was surreal. You were watching it like, I can't believe these two guys are acting like this. So they're both giving their interviews to their camera. I think Waboom seemed pretty out of it. He seemed drunk.
He was drunk.
Waboom had been drinking. Blake's complaining. He lives in my town. I can't get away from him. The history between these two is so deep. And hey, spoiler alert, you guys are both going to be on Paradise. This is not the end of the Blake and Waboom rivalry. It's going on for many years. At one point, they make it seem like these two boys were about to throw hands, AB.
I thought for sure they were throwing hands. I thought Blake was going to come up with a sucker punch from the side when Waboom was just talking there.
It's like Blake would sneak up on somebody and like punch you in the back of the skull, like just totally against all the rules of fighting. Blake walks right up to him, and he puts his arm around him, and Waboom's like, all right, here we go. He says, fuck you, Waboom. Straight up. Middle finger. Washed up joke. He said, you're a wannabe comedian. You failed all this stuff. It's harsh. It's cutting deep. I'm watching it like, whoa.
Blake, chill.
He said, you're the Waboom clown. I'm a nice gentleman. I'm going to play some of the, I'm going to try and put some of the clip in here, but it quickly devolved into them doing like fake impressions of each other.
Yeah.
And like cutting one another off. You remember in Step Brothers before Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly became best friends, the type of fighting they would have, like 40-year-olds being super immature, like, I'm a boom, like doing that, guys. It was insanity.
If somebody said, how would you summarize Lucas in one word? I would say, waboom.
Shut up. You're
I'm
jealous.
I'm not a failed comedian. I'm a personal trainer.
You're a failed workout.
How am I going to call yourself? A workout person.
Okay.
Did you do that well?
Are you a failed comedian?
Just
no, stop. Stop doing
stop.
That.
Just be Lucas.
Okay, so stop.
Okay.
Just shut your mouth.
You shut your mouth.
Right.
Let me know when you change the world one waboom at a time.
See you later.
Absolutely humiliating themselves.
Humiliating. Like, Blake's got to go to his personal training business on Tuesday. And he's got to show up, and people are going to be like, oh, you are one of the more immature people I've ever seen. You definitely stooped to Waboom's level. In fact, I'd say he was below Waboom. Waboom came off as the more mature person here.
He was way below Waboom. It was so ridiculous, Rim, by the end of it. Little spin zone for you, Rim.
Spin
These
it.
Guys came on together to. It was like if Rim and AB went on The Bachelor and they were gonna.
Oh my god!
Know,
I love that.
If they were gonna further Rim's brand,
I love this theory. Big time, love that theory.
I think they came on together to. He's Waboom's manager. And they're gonna further the Waboom brand together. They're so ridiculous. I can't imagine that this is real life.
AB, I believe that. I'm not willing to consider that. I believe that to be true now that you brought that up. They're gonna be the highest paid contestants, cast members on Paradise history.
Oh yeah. Listen, Waboom, his brand stinks.
Yes.
It stinks. It's not funny. He's not funny. He's a bad comedian. He also went on Kimmel. I don't know if you watched Kimmel afterwards.
I didn't see that. No.
He was not funny on there. He's not. He isn't funny.
I couldn't watch Kimmel afterwards because I immediately watched the episode again. So.
But these guys, Waboom can go around the country and get some, appearance money. I'll tell you that right now.
I hate Waboom. If he were within driving distance, I'd check it out. I'd check out the show.
Yeah, if he was doing a show somewhere, I'd go.
If Blake and Waboom had a two-man show, you can turn that down? You turn that down for $10? I don't think so. That was, yes, it was an all-time scene. When there are the two guys arguing about comedy in the driveway.
What about Waboom? The thing is, it's about the world, man.
And you don't even know. I don't even know what the quote is. But he's like, you don't know what the world's about. What is it about, Waboom? You tell me. Oh, it was a good scene. It was a good scene. One I won't forget anytime soon.
No.
But listen, again, if you've seen Step Brothers, I can imagine these two 6 months from now giving a prestige worldwide presentation on some third-rate daytime talk show. Like, we mended our fences, and now we want to start an entertainment company. So, okay, on to the group date. Brian, Jonathan, Peter, Alex, Will, and Fred. They're going to Ellen, AB. Work from home guy. Are you an Ellen guy?
Of course I'm an Ellen guy, Rim.
Okay.
Ellen and Rachel are my two favorite female leads in Hollywood.
I've kind of turned on Ellen in recent months because every time I see like a YouTube clip or something on social media about Ellen, it's always like Ellen, she's going too far. She's prying too deeply into the personal lives of these people. Like the other day, she asked Nicki Minaj if her and Nas, who she's rumored to be dating, not public, she's like, have you and Nas had a sleepover yet? Just deadpan. That's her thing now, is like, go one step too far, deadpan. And then the person's like, oh, you can't be mean to Ellen. So they have to answer the question. It's kind of bullshit, in my opinion.
No, I'm a big Ellen guy. ABC's pulling all those stops, though, this season, Rim. Ashton and
Mila.
And then you had Kareem. And now you got Ellen. I mean,
the big names. And it's only episode 3.
There's huge names that they're coming with.
So when they're on stage, Ellen asks if she's kissed anyone. Rachel says she has. The guys in the back who haven't kissed Rachel apparently didn't know that others had kissed her already. You see what I'm saying? Ellen's sloppy, dude. She's getting messing everything up.
She gets the answers to the questions that people want to hear, though, Rim.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that's fair. But she's, you know, these are real life people, relationships out here, AB. She's messing some things up. I mean, Ellen's actions directly affected what Fred did later in the night.
That's true. She ruined Fred.
Let's talk quickly. She ruined Fred's life, I'd say. What we learned more about Fred, we realized that this nothing could possibly crush him more than not winning Rachel's heart on this show.
Yep.
Quick, let's talk, but quick segue into the shirtless stripper thing, the male stripper deal, AB, getting
before,
some dollars in their pants.
Before you jump into that, Rim.
I can't wait to get into it. What do you got?
Ellen talked about who had kissed Rachel, and Brian says he's the one who's kissed her. Then Will chimes in and says that he's kissed her as well. Brian says that Will got his sloppy seconds. Did you have an issue with that, Rim?
Yeah, I thought that's a D-bag move.
Yeah.
That's not a gentlemanly way to go about that.
Sloppy seconds is not.
That's a high school term. That's
a
high school term.
And it's not something you want to say about a classy lady.
No, you're 100% correct.
I took offense to that.
Yeah, it was bullshit. And it looked even worse because Brian, it would look bad if a 27-year-old guy said it. He's 37.
Yeah.
You don't say sloppy seconds when you're 37 years old.
No.
Even Ellen was like, oh, all right, so this guy's kind of a douche. What's going on with what's going on with your man over here? Get your mans, Rachel. Yes, we 100% agreed on that, and I apologize to the listeners for even thinking about skipping over that moment, okay, which was bad. Let's quick talk about these shirtless male.
Now on to the men.
It's raining, man. Hallelujah. Now, I don't watch Ellen enough, but is this what every episode is like?
It seemed like she mentioned something about how she usually does this. So, I don't know.
The audience is like 90% white, 35 to 45-year-old women just like, yeah, this is what I came here for. Getting grinded on by these hard-body dudes. All right, AB. Jonathan, quick. All right, should we do the quick scouting report real quick?
Let me tell you something, Rim, before you give your scouting report. I couldn't focus on anybody because out of all these hard bodies, Alex's rose to the top.
Yeah, well, yeah.
My man's body is like, whoa.
That's the weird thing. I got two comments on that. A lot of people I know are like, Rim, you should go on The Bachelor. This is exhibit A why that's not a possibility.
Even Jonathan was like kind of shredded out.
That was my next point. Even the really lame guys who you don't think of are like, they have bodies that put Michael Phelps to shame.
Yeah.
Like these bodies are so hard. You can't compete with that.
Alex's body, I've never seen anything like that.
Well, Brian had those little like giblet abs like up on the side of his ribs. You know, there's the main abs and you got like the side abs. That's how you know you're super ripped up.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bodies were too much. It was overwhelming and I can understand the women's reaction. It was the bodies were out of control. Okay. Well, you kind of stole my thunder there. I'm going to run down. Jonathan, no fucking clue what he was doing. Even though he shredded out, he's never danced before in his life.
No.
Will was having fun. Even Peter was having fun. Peter was having some fun in a respectful way. Peter looked like he was carrying on conversations while he was entertaining the women.
Yeah.
He's a gentleman. Brian, like we said, he got the riblets. Alex, AB, he's done this shit before. There's no way that Alex has not stripped in a professional setting before. I'd be stunned if that was first time. And that was talking hard bodies with Rim and AB. All right, let's run down this never have I ever. Ellen asks, right off the bat, she asks, okay, which one of you motherfuckers have thought about fornicating with Rachel? I'm telling you, AB, messy. She's a messy woman. This shit's on at like 9:30 in the morning, and
no,
she's coming in hot.
Show, it's
I don't know about that.
It's like
syndicated.
Four.
You never
it's
know.
Like
they tape
four.
It in the morning. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, it's taped in the morning, no doubt.
Peter and Alex say they have not thought about it. Everyone else is truthful. I believe Peter, though. Peter's just Peter, because I like Peter, and he's a gentleman. Alex, I think, answered in the way that he thought Rachel would want him to answer. Will Peter and Alex have texted nude selfies before?
Okay.
Peter apologist rim. His reaction made me feel like it was okay. Like he was in love, like it was a real true love thing, so that's fine. Fred admits that he has hooked up with someone twice his own age.
He said he was 21 and she was around 40.
Rachel said, oh, you have, in that tone of voice. The tone of voice like she's still his camp counselor. Like, oh, like care to explain why you did that? Brian, Peter, and Will have kissed her. Now, this is when this was the moment that I really, truly started to feel genuinely bad for Fred. Because this sets off the storyline that Fred didn't just use this we knew each other as kids thing to get on the show. He, like, genuinely has been, like, searching for Rachel. He's liked Rachel. He's been in love his entire life. And now he's on fucking Ellen with three other dudes on stage holding up signs that said they've made out with her. I mean, I feel terrible for Fred.
Then he's in his own head. He's thinking about why he hasn't kissed her. It's not looking good for Fred at this point.
He's crestfallen when he finds this out. He's like, oh, other guys have been kissing her. I haven't gotten that far. I'm getting nervous. You know, shit's moving really fast. I feel bad for Fred. Quickly moving to the nighttime date at the Hudson Loft, which I believe may be the set of New Girl. You a New Girl fan, AB?
I am.
They just went to the New Girl Loft and hung out. I don't know if that's true. let's quick talk about some interactions. Alex, Will, Brian, Peter, before we get to the Fred. The Hindenburg disaster of Fred's night. AB, was Alex the love languages guy? I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Because he came with that hokey bullshit about what eye you look at. Like, if you look at the left eye, it's emotion.
It lands.
Yeah, well, the love language has also landed. Doesn't mean it's true. There's a 0% chance that what he said about what eye you look at is true. Will, our guy Will, snagging a kiss.
You know how Will do.
Will is bad enough. Will is not going to have an interaction with her without kissing. For the duration of the show. You can bet that.
Something's there with Will. Something's there.
He's good. Brian gets physical, as usual. Are you at all concerned that, and this happens every season, there's some connection that is purely physical and nothing else builds around it? We thought that was the Jordan JoJo connection. Are you at all concerned that Brian and Rachel are just make-out buddies?
They haven't said a word to each other yet. It's all passion. They got to start talking.
I think so too. If I were to rank Brian and Peter in terms of chances of winning, I would say I'd put Peter ahead of him because Peter, while he also has a physical connection, they did have that one-on-one date, and body language, folks. I just disparaged the idea of love language, but body language, folks. Those two look like a true boyfriend girlfriend with the lap.
A little info about Peter Rim. He's a CrossFit guy. Found that out this week.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
Did you know that he used to be a model?
I did not know that, but it does not surprise me.
His pictures are revealing. He was like a legit CK model in his 20s.
Nice.
That's what I said. I was like, good shit. Fred, reeling. The definition of reeling after the Ellen show. I wanted this to go well, AB. I really wanted the Ellen reaction to be a fake out. More than anything, I wanted Fred to win the night. He said, I've been waiting to kiss her for 20 years.
I like Fred a lot. By the middle of this date, he seemed like one of the best options.
Mm-hmm.
Flat out. But she just can't get over the fact that she was his counselor for some reason.
Before the season, we thought, okay, that's something you can build on. That's an interesting story. He never had a chance, ever.
No.
From the moment he got out of the limo, he was doomed.
It was something I did not like about Rachel. I don't like saying bad things about Rachel, but get over it.
Yeah, get
it's
over
not,
it.
It's not even, it's not like camp counselor. That's like a couple weeks, one summer. It's not
I
even
think they
like
went to the school. I think they went to the same school too.
Okay.
I mean, there it's probably a little more than they're making it out to be, but
still.
And in any event, like Fred is like, take Fred for what he is right now, which is a grown adult, a respectable man with a great smile and a great personality, here for the right reasons, probably more so than anyone else. Fred is here for the right reasons.
Absolutely.
Like, Fred's not going to go start, you know, some, he's not going to sell some bullshit on Instagram. Like, he's just going to go home. He's heartbroken and he's going to continue living his life because he took a shot with Rachel and it didn't work out. And now he's going to settle for someone else. So.
And the way she handled it, I thought she made a lot of mistakes. He comes out looking so bad because of what she said and how she handled this situation. I did not like what Rachel did to Fred.
I was very embarrassed for him. That's true, but he buried him. He dug his own grave, AB, because he was shook. I've never seen someone so shook trying to make headway in this game. When he pulls her aside or she pulls him aside, I don't know which one it was. And they go into literally the makeout closet at this loft, the side room. He said, I was very surprised to see how many guys had kissed you.
Why bring that up?
Why bring that up? After that moment, he does everything you could do wrong, he does.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
EB, I didn't write down what he said because I was too busy. Like, I was taking notes on my computer, and then he started talking, and then my hands, like, went up. I cringed, like, physical, hardcore. My muscles tensed up. I couldn't write anymore. But all I know is that he asked if he could kiss her.
Yep.
You think she's going to marry a guy who asks?
She was so not into it. And then he proceeds to actually do it.
He had to at that point.
He asked.
I mean,
he asked and she basically said no. And then
yeah. Yeah. He went down swinging. I mean, if you want to make a baseball analogy, first pitch was the first couple days. He watched one go right down the middle. He didn't move. Second pitch, which was the Ellen show, you know, he swung at one in the dirt. Just wild, way off swing. Third pitch, I mean, it's 4 feet outside, and he swings so hard that the bat flies into the stands. But he's out. AB, all right, he's out on three pitches, but he went down swinging. It was a disaster. But you have to give him credit. He had to kiss her. I personally think the kiss went on too long. She was kind of backing up during the kiss, which is not what you want to see.
The thing about the kiss is it started off so awkward. I thought she was going to pull away right away. It was going to be over. But then it kept going, and I started to think maybe maybe halfway through this kiss, she started feeling it. Feeling the Fred love. That's what I started thinking. Kind of threw me off.
The kiss went on so long that we could have several segments of thought.
Yeah.
It was too long. He was just trying to make up for lost time. Fred blew it. And he blew it. He blew it very, very, very hard. I didn't want him to. We wanted him to win the night, at the very least. He didn't deserve to go out like that. But what'd you think about Rachel giving him the boot?
Hey.
Were you surprised by that? She picked up the rose in the classic
producer
move.
Why the fuck did she pick up the rose?
That was bullshit. I mean, that's just another thing that was like, Rachel, you're
better than
that. Come
on, Rachel. Exactly what I was thinking. Why did you do that?
You knew it was bad when she goes, Frederick, can I talk to you for a moment? Like she was disappointing him. Rachel says, I see a man now, but I still see a boy. And AB, like you said, that's on her for not getting over that.
She said it was like kissing a boy, which is something that I would say he'll be in therapy for the rest of his life.
I mean, yeah. Imagine being Fred and like watching that with your family. You can please believe Fred did not have big watch parties like some of the other contestants. Fred was watching this at home, crying like, I can't believe I missed out on the dream girl of his life.
Unreal.
But shout out to Fred for holding it together in the moment. She kind of dragged him along with this send off. She's like, can I walk you out? They go down the elevator, you know, blah, 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 all the nonsense. And he was a man about it though. He handled it better than I did, AB, I'd say.
Yep.
Anyway, Alex gets the group date rose. Good for you. Sad. How are you going to send home Fred and give the group date rose to the guy who makes up pseudoscience on the spot to try to impress you?
Listen, I'd love Fred, but Alex was the star of this date. He deserved the rose.
Okay, all right, that's fair.
He earned
it. I'm salty. I'm just salty. That's all it is. Quick, back at the house. Eric coming out of the woodwork, yammering on about how she doesn't seem interested in him.
What's this guy talking about, Rim?
Who gives a shit? I thought the way they treated Eric, I thought he was like 23 and all the guys resented him for being so young. He's 29.
Yeah.
But he acts pretty young.
Yeah.
Brian is in the kitchen like, yeah, whatever, dude. Like, there's a non-zero chance that Brian is like past first base with Rachel at this point. He's listening to Eric go on and on. Daytime one-on-one date AB with Waboom and Blake out of the picture with Fred, his unceremonious exit. We need new characters, just like we said, just as we predicted. New characters will emerge
out of nowhere
and become contenders out of nowhere. Anthony's emergence was so far out of nowhere, they didn't even show the part where Chris Harrison delivered the date card.
Mm-mm.
Anthony just started rolling down, walking down the Rodeo Drive, like, all right,
motherfucker, walking down the street.
Whoa, where's this guy? I saw somebody on Twitter call them Black Mr. Clean. I don't know if you're offended by that, but I think it's pretty funny. But overall, I think Anthony handled this day really well. He took it all in stride. He's from Chicago, obviously never ridden a horse before, but he hops right on, takes it in stride. What do you got? What do you think early impressions of Anthony on this date?
Handled the horse thing really well, Rim. Seemed like a fucking fish out of water, though. I'll tell you that.
He was a fish out of water. That's a big thing with these shows is people all over the country, all different types of personalities and backgrounds. The quickest way to get to know somebody is to put them in a fish out of water situation.
Because
They're going to tell you a little bit about their background, and then it shows you how well they can adapt to weird situations.
Are they going
to
be cool about it? Or are they going to be a downer?
He was very cool about it. I was like, if I were in this situation, I'd probably be like a smart ass downer. I wouldn't adapt well, and I wouldn't get the rose. Everybody gets the rose on the one-on-one date. It would be the end of the night and be like, Tim, you were kind of annoying during the horse thing. You didn't really fit in Rodeo Drive, and I'm going to have to let you go. Anyway, hey, did you notice the random women on the school bus going, oh my God, it's Rachel.
Yep, I saw them.
You can make fun of those people, AB, but that's what I would do.
That's what Rim and A, that would be Rim and AB on a bus if they saw Rachel. Hands waving in the air.
Arms waving.
Screaming.
Somehow they can do horses in stores. Have you seen this before? Is this a Bachelorette thing? What's going on?
I've only seen a horse inside of a building one time, and it was on the show Bar Rescue, Rim. I don't know if you remember this episode, but someone in a bar rescue in this failing bar brings this horse into the bar, and it's like going wild in the bar, and then John Taffer runs in and shuts that shit down.
He shuts
the
shit down.
That's the only time I've seen a horse in a... How can these people be okay with this?
That's a really
like
good
the
reference.
Horse could easily tear it apart.
You ask yourself, now, is this a thing they let you do on Rodeo Drive?
No.
It can't be, because what if, like, let's say there's three groups of three or four riding around Rodeo Drive on horseback. And let's say in this bizarro land where you can walk in to luxury retail stores on Rodeo Drive with a horse, what happens when, I mean, these stores are not that big. What happens when that first group of three goes into that first store, and then the second group of three is like, I want to come in here? Well,
with
you can't.
Horse.
I mean, yeah. There's already too many horses. One horse is too many horses, of course. But shout out to me, Rhyme and Rim. You can't have more horses. I mean, it's just the logistics don't make any sense.
I never took Rodeo Drive for being a horse place at all. Isn't it just a super fancy place to shop?
Yeah, it's like Clueless.
Like
Alicia Silverstone.
I don't get it. Are they like? Are they making Rodeo into Rodeo? Is that the thing we're going for here? What's the deal with the horses?
Might be. The only way that this happens in real life is if some super rich person like rents the stores for their personal shopping for the day and like pays for the cleanup.
Yep.
Because guess what? Obviously, the horses are going to poop inside these super fancy stores. Horses poop like every 6 minutes. Have you ever been around horses? They're just constantly pooping.
Disgusting.
They're disgusting. And nothing smells worse than horse manure. So I don't know why anyone was surprised by that. I mean, just let's take a step back here, AB. This is quite the season of The Bachelorette. We got two black people riding fucking horses inside retail stores on Rodeo Drive. I mean,
me included, have come a long way.
It means black people, yes. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, there's a lot of tumult in the country right now.
We've come a long way.
But this
way.
Is like, hey, you know what? Pat yourselves on the back, everybody. We're the society. We're moving forward as a society when we're watching The Bachelorette, and that is the scene we're looking at.
Yep.
Cupcake
ATM Rim.
Cupcake ATM, that was... Now we're back on Rodeo Drive. Yeah. Good date. Really good daytime date. Anthony kind of came out of the woodwork. He, like we said, went in stride. Fabulous. They had good conversation. I wouldn't necessarily say that he has game.
No.
Because that implies that he, like some fake shit that he's like laying on thick. Like Brian has game.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony's just chatting with her very smoothly, having a great time. Big Anthony guy. Where do you put Anthony now after this?
I just don't see it, Rim.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Not a contender.
Doesn't have the spark. He's wearing like a 3-piece suit. Didn't hit.
Oh. Well, you can't be huge and wear a 3-piece suit. And
yeah, it just didn't work. It didn't work. He's busting out of a 3-piece suit. He doesn't have the spark. He's just... When I pictured who I thought Rachel would be with, it wasn't him. You know?
Yeah.
He's too average.
Average?
In terms of, like, personality.
Okay, I was going to say, if Anthony walked through your door right now, you'd be
obviously,
taken aback.
Obviously, size-wise, it's breathtaking.
He's a breathtaking man. Yeah, you know, whatever. But this was also the first time we've ever seen him speak.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll go. I think there's possibility there's top four potential here with Anthony. Potential.
I think so.
Let's talk quick about the nighttime. Have you ever seen La La Land? You've seen La La Land, right?
Yes, love it.
They basically went to the cover art for the poster for La La Land and had dinner. Anyway, I thought it was pretty good that, you know, they had...
Nothing here, Rim. Like I said, nothing...
Yeah, you're right. All right.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing good happened. Nothing interesting.
I mean, he gets the rose. He had a good upbringing. He wants to be a good dad. Let me just quick run this shit down. They had a great time. They like each other. She likes him.
Fucking yawn.
Anthony gets the rose. They dance smooth jazz band. All right, you're right. It was romantic, but you're right. Back at the house. Anthony comes back, and the boys are like, "Oh, it's Big Ant." Anthony's obviously very popular.
Big Anthony,
Big Ant.
Everyone's dapping him up.
Oh my god, Anthony's very popular in the house.
I'll tell you what: if someone comes back and they've just got done kissing my girl, I'm not dapping them up. I'm not happy to see. I am not happy to see you, Anthony. I wanted you to not get the rose.
But if he's fucking awesome,
when it's
like
Big
Anthony,
Ant, though,
when it's Big Ant, you're like, "What up, big dog? Welcome back." Pour something up. Tell us about the date, boy, boy. You got anything on this Eric Iggy showdown? Another confrontation that I don't even understand. Like, here's how I perceive this. Eric's talking to a couple guys about something. Mm-hmm. Iggy comes over from the other room and is like, "All right,
Let
me get this straight." Yeah. Just, "All right, here, I'm going to stir the pot." And Eric's like, "What the fuck are you doing over here? We weren't talking to you." The thing that got me is when Iggy's like, so what's this? What's the point of this conversation? And Eric's like, I don't know.
You're the one who came over here and started this conversation.
You got anything else on that? I mean, is that what happened?
That's exactly what happened. I'm not really sure what the conversation was about. I think it had something to do with Eric at one point saying that he didn't know if Rachel was taking this serious enough. I didn't get that from what Eric was saying.
I didn't either.
Loose. I think Iggy just stuck his nose into some business that he had no business being a part
of. That's a very loose interpretation of what Eric said.
Yeah.
That he's doubting Rachel's motives. I don't think that happened at all, but it turned into be the end of the episode storyline, so who knows?
Yep.
All right, let's go to this daytime group date, number two. Brady, Dean, Adam, Kenny.
Ooh, our boy.
Pretty boy Pitbull, Kenny King.
People's champ.
The people's fucking champion. Bryce, Lee, Jack, and Eric.
Listen, if Lee hadn't done these racist tweets, I'd still be Team Lee right now. He's done nothing wrong in the actual house.
Well,
now, I know that the racist tweets come out, and obviously, anytime I see him, my blood boils. But let me just put it that way. He hasn't done anything on here. I would be Team Lee. I would be a big fan of his if I didn't know that he was a racist, sexist pig.
Towards the very, very end of the episode, he says stuff that, in the context of the tweets, mm-hmm. is like, oh, that makes me a little uncomfortable. But you're right. If the tweets didn't come out, you'd gloss over the way he was acting.
Yep.
But in that context, you're like, oh, he's this fucking guy being mad disrespectful. All right. So Rachel's girls from Nick's season show up.
Squad, Rim.
This is a good squad. Alexis, Raven, Corinne, and Jasmine. Now, one might expect Corinne to really steal the show or even hook up with a guy here. That's not what happened.
Nope.
On the party bus, somehow all the guys are above average pole dancers. I'm really starting to question where they're getting some of these contestants if all the guys can strip and pole dance. AB, what do you make of Raven digging into Bryce, asking who's not right for Rachel?
She's going to figure it out, though, Rim. I got no issues with it. It did seem like she was kind of flirty a little bit. I don't know if you caught that a little bit there.
Those two were, well, the alcohol was flowing. Bryce was kind of, you never want to whisper into a girl's ear in front of your girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. That's what the...
But my thing was, Bryce, why would you answer that question? Obviously, you're going to tell Rachel in 10 minutes because it's just going to come back to bite you.
True.
Quick, let's go to the mud wrestling. And by quick, I mean strapping for 15 seconds of in-depth pro wrestling talk. Have you ever been so excited for a group date than when Kenny King was cutting promos before a mud wrestling match?
This was an awesome group date.
Awesome. Bryce, for some reason, thought he was a better athlete than Kenny. I don't know why. I mean, Kenny's literally a 15-year veteran professional athlete. I don't know why you think you're better than him, but... So we're in this random bar in the middle of the afternoon, about to mud wrestle. We got a large group of adult women drinking.
Basically the same crowd. They just brought the crowd over from Ellen.
Yeah, they're just pulling these ladies around. They're screaming things like, let me say that butt. Woo! Or let's say your junk. Okay. Woo!
The lady said, let me see your junk. I wanted the bouncers to escort this lady out.
I mean, these women had to go to work on Tuesday.
Come on, lady. Someone get this mom out of here that yelled, let me see your junk, to a guy.
So when you say let me see your butt, you could theoretically like keep clothes on and do that. When you say let me see your junk, you're saying pull down your pants. That's what you're saying. There's no other way to interpret that. Let's go through the bracket here. I don't know how they set up this bracket. Kenny manhandles Jack Stone. Takes him to Suplex City.
I said Suplex City too.
Yep. Kenny dominates Dean or maybe Adam. I don't know which one it was. He's doing it,
it's Lee.
Oh, he's dominating.
So him
Lee.
And Lee put on like an actual wrestling match. Suplexes, and Kenny lets him do some suplexes to him. It's a show. It's an absolute show. I would pay to see Kenny and Lee. It made me think Lee might have a little professional wrestling background too.
He's definitely done some backyard shit. Where is he from? Tennessee or whatever. Like Lee has wrestled
done some
before.
Trampoline wrestling.
That was the one where Kenny blew a kiss to the audience and the women lost their minds. Totally lost their minds. Like, it was like their version of going to an and-one mixtape tour game. And then, like, you get the big ovation, you get the first one, and then you get the second, like, rise where everyone jumps up out of the seats and runs onto the court. That's basically what happened when Kenny blew a kiss. Bryce versus Kenny, the final showdown. AB, Kenny... Kenny was gassed.
Kenny gassed out hard by the gassed end. By the end, Bryce was just holding Kenny up, and Kenny looked dead.
He looked like the Undertaker at recent Undertaker matches, where it's like, this guy's way too old. He can't do it anymore. He's injured. It was like a real Greco-Roman wrestling match. They were like doing holds and just be like, stay right there. So anyway, Kenny lost, but obviously, people's champion in all their hearts. Time for Rachel to get the intel from her girls, from her reconnaissance team. Raven is the only one that talked here, AB. So you got to wonder, maybe Corinne was just straight up flirting with these guys and not gathering any information. Because she didn't have anything to add here. Raven snitches on Bryce and Lee for saying that Eric might not be there for the right reason. Now, this is classic game of telephone, because that's not what Raven asked.
No, Bryce. Nope, it's not.
She goes, who do you think is not a good fit for Rachel? He said Lee's not a good, or excuse me, Eric's not a good fit. Raven turns that around to Lee's, Eric's not, names are giving me trouble here. Eric's not here for the right reasons. And then that just, it becomes this whole thing when really it was much more innocent than that. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. I'd agree. 100%. Rachel's trying to start, or Raven's trying to start some shit, Rim.
Yeah. Hey, that's fine. She gets a pass for that. Come on to the show, get things cooking a little bit.
Yep.
So on to the nighttime group date, where we will see the conclusion of that, the finale of that discussion. But first thing I want to shout out is Kenny finally talking about something other than his daughter. Now, granted, it was the fact that he used to be a Chippendales dancer, but still, it's something other than his daughter.
It gives her a nice dance rim.
How'd you think the dance went? She seemed to play along and enjoy it.
She enjoyed it. She seemed to enjoy it.
I just don't, as much as I like that moment in Kenny's episode, it's hard for me to believe at this point that Rachel is going, out of all these guys, is going to pick the current pro wrestler, former Chippendales dancer with a 10-year-old daughter.
It's not happening. It's really sad for me, because I was thinking about it, and Kenny's already on my Mount Rushmore of Bachelor and Bachelorette contestants rim.
Okay, do you have the other three? Or?
Of course I got the other three.
Okay, let's hear it.
Ben, the legend, he's on there. Alexis.
Yep.
Rachel. And Kenny.
Okay. Wow. That's, hey, I can't argue with that.
It's the four.
I can't argue with that. Ben's great. Alexis, probably the funniest female contestant.
Oh, by far. Not even close.
Kenny, best guy.
Best guy.
And with a past that interests us. And Rachel, obviously. Rachel could be our first female president. So that's a good four.
Yep.
All right. So let's skip all the other shit and get to Eric. Mr. Vulnerable, Mr. Feelings, Mr. Needs Validation, Mr. Third Man in a 90s R&B group singing the solo part in the Heartbreak song. Girl, please come back to me. Rachel tells him that Bryce and Lee had his name in their mouths, AB. What do you got on this this little conversation?
It always rubs me the wrong way when you get some information from someone and then you snitch out the names. Like, the names weren't important here.
Not at all.
Why did you cause this issue, Rachel? This is another thing that Rachel did that I didn't agree with this episode.
I was surprised when she... I don't think we saw her... Oh, yeah, we did. I'm sorry. I was surprised when she told Eric who said what.
Yeah.
That caught me off guard.
Same here.
But it did create a little controversy, a little confrontation, AB. Eric goes back to the group. He's got his big ass 90s R&B down to his knees, 14-foot-long scarf.
House meeting, y'all.
No, not that yet. Not that yet. This is still at the group date. You're going to the rose ceremony. Hey, by the way, a true gentleman would have offered the clearly freezing cold Rachel in a trench coat the scarf, just as a symbolic thing. But he was too concerned with, why don't you like me? Kenny, I'm going to mosey on out of here. Kenny knows when to, Kenny knows when to get out of the room. All right, AB. The first confrontation between Lee and a black guy. Are you ready? Bryce is there too, but it's mostly Lee and Eric.
Yep.
Lee says it wasn't a motivation thing. It was more about his Eric's relative lack of experience. He mentions that Eric's never been in love before. Do you buy that that's what... I mean, we don't know because we didn't see Eric or we didn't see Lee say anything to Raven, but do you think that's what Lee's actually concerned about?
Absolutely not. Based on what Lee's been saying and what you see in the future episodes, he's trying to pick people off one at a time.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him for that.
He's doing strategy. Somebody's got to strategize around here. You can't all be buddies.
It's a game.
Lee then goes into a little bit of a lecture about Eric screaming. How sincere do you think this line was from Lee? He buttered him up like I've never seen, to the point where Eric was shook. He was like, why are you being so nice to me? It was weird. Says, I love you to death, and I think you're an amazing individual.
Got a lot of potential.
Got a lot of potential.
Not buying it. Well, obviously, I know he doesn't like black people, so I know this is total BS.
His tone was pretty condescending, I think. Yeah. He stopped just short of calling him boy. He was almost going to call him boy. It was almost there, AB. He was very condescending, I thought. I don't know why you're Team Lee, but I wasn't big into it.
Eric said it perfectly. Lee has a lot of snake in his DNA.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Period. Well, he's probably mixed up moonshine with snake blood before. Like, he probably literally has snake in his blood. Anyway, Eric gets the group date rose. Were you surprised by that?
Yeah, why?
I don't know.
Okay, so you brought your squad in. They tell you, they give you one name of a person that might be here for the wrong reasons. You give that person out of the entire group. You had so many different options, and you give him the rose. I don't get it.
And Eric didn't really make a case for why he wasn't.
No.
When he was talking with Rachel, he was more concerned about who said what, and then I'm going to go talk to him.
I don't get it. I mean, I guess she was trying to make him feel like she was trying to give him some
validation.
Confirmation. Yeah, some validation that she does like him, I guess.
She probably, maybe she thought he needed it more than anyone else.
Yeah. Yep. That's kind of what
I'm saying. He's in his own head. He's and he knows it. He just thinks too much.
And maybe
that was like a
calming
down. She
was in her own head on Nick's season. So maybe she sees some of herself in Eric.
Oh, I like that angle. That's why you're the fucking esteemed historian.
Yep.
This rose selection does not please Lee. He must have had a couple drinks between the time that Eric was talking to him about that and when Rachel gave the rose out, because his eyes were a little red. And he goes, I'm happy you got the rose, man. That's good. You deserve it for your growth.
Oh.
Team Lee, AB? All right, let's wrap this shit up. Cocktail party. The Jameson is full.
Rim, I noticed after what you said last episode. You telling me that's whiskey in that cup, Rim?
That's fucking whiskey.
Is that what you mean to tell me?
And like not much ice.
It was to the brim. Like she had to sip it out so it wouldn't spill. That's how full
she couldn't tilt the glass.
No.
Yeah. And surprised she didn't have a straw or something.
No straw.
She's got lipstick on and all that. Crazy. Just a quick couple notes. Alex is wearing what appears to be a satin purple paisley suit. I don't know if anyone else noticed that. It was on screen for a second, but Alex has got some wild style, man. Wild style.
He does. He's the crazy Russian on this season.
I can't wait for him to be just full tracksuit on some group date one sometime. Just the full stereotype. What'd you think of Iggy trying to... I don't know. He's talking to Rachel about him and Eric. I don't know what. Again, we didn't understand the original interaction, so I'm certainly not going to understand his spin job explanation to Rachel.
Iggy's going home, Rim.
It's the classic mistake, right? I mean,
Iggy's going home. It's like these people have never seen this show. You should. If I got on The Bachelor, I would watch every season that's ever been on multiple times and figure out how to win.
Make a little spreadsheet and figure out what the
mistakes are. What did this guy do to win? What did this guy do to get kicked off? One of the main things you do to get kicked off is use your one-on-one time snitching on someone else. That's the main way you get booted off.
Literally Bachelor 101.
No matter who's in the right or wrong, it always ends up wrong for the person snitching.
Always. Even if the person snitching is right about the person they're snitching on, and that person goes home, the snitcher still goes home too, because after that person's gone, then there's nothing. I forgot who it was, but that if you make that your identity,
it was Alex.
Yeah. Once Chad left, was kicked off by JoJo, Alex had no other thing with JoJo. Yeah. That was his identity. So now, like, even if Rachel were to boot Eric, then her and Iggy, 5 episodes into the show, don't have any connection. So nothing. Then you're done anyway.
Yep.
Never worth it. It's never worth it. Anyway, so Rachel finds Eric, and I guess they smooth it out. I don't know. The episode ends with Eric corralling everybody in the house, main room, like mid-90s real world, MTV real world style. Like, all right, house meeting everybody, no, like
a,
you said.
What it's really like, Rim, is the Dave Chappelle real world skit. House meeting, y'all, after the guy stabs her dad. There's four black cast members. Oh, it's real world black or whatever. And then
mad real world.
And there's one white person, and one of the guys stabs the white guy's dad. And they call house. One of the black people calls a house meeting and kicks the white guy out.
In all time
skit. House meeting, y'all.
All right, that went down a weird path. But yeah, okay, Eric is corralling everybody. We got our first real knockdown drag out screaming match. What do you expect when the show picks up next episode?
So somehow Kenny gets involved. I'm not sure, but Kenny is involved in the— you didn't see the what's coming up next?
Kenny just said Lee's a bitch, but that was a different setting.
Oh yeah, you're right.
He goes, Lee, you're a bitch. Kenny's a man.
I don't think anything's gonna happen from this.
Probably not. Nothing will come of that interaction, but it was interesting to see the next week on The Bachelorette to see a lot of the guys start turning on Lee. Mm-hmm. Kenny, we haven't even seen Kenny and Lee interact yet.
No.
So for Kenny to call him a bitch is kind of out of nowhere. And then we see Will giving Lee a little history lesson about, hey, maybe why you shouldn't call black men aggressive. Mm-hmm. Lee, before Will even finishes that sentence, Lee kind of starts groaning, like, oh, here we go. Like, he's not interested in the lectures. Lee's kind of being the smart ass sitting down while Eric is ranting and raving. The other guys are standing up, kind of giving him respect, like, all right, what you want to do? The concept of the house meeting on like 20 minutes before a rose ceremony is so crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like, why yell at everybody if some of them are going to be gone in half hour?
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
It's just not the place. You don't do it when Rachel's literally in the house.
That's another thing, is Rachel just talked to you about the issues you're having with other guys, and then you immediately walk and have a house meeting where you yell at everyone. And she could be the next room over.
You know, it's a little unfair the way some of the things that are saying about Eric, Lee, mm-hmm. Iggy, and Bryce in particular, but he's giving them a whole lot of ammo. He's acting pretty immature.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else on this episode, AB? What do you think? Who do you think's going home, I guess? I mean, did anybody jump ahead of Brian or Peter on the rankings? I mean, we barely saw Peter, so.
Rim, I think it's a season full of duds. No one's standing out for me. Nobody. I guess Peter. Seems like the most mature. Will.
I like Peter. You don't like Anthony. I like, yeah, I guess you're right.
It's a duds.
There's contestants that I like personally as dudes.
Hey, side note, where the fuck was Josiah?
Josiah was
the
not
king
on
of the
at
camera
all.
Time. I literally just realized I'd had no notes about Josiah and didn't see him one time. He obviously didn't have a date this week.
If you don't have a date, you're screwed. Even if you're a camera hog like Josiah is, the king's speech, man. Yeah, Josiah wasn't there. Uh-huh. Peter was barely on. Matt was nowhere to be found. I think Matt's a decent contender. You're right. I mean, I don't know who. When I said that characters will emerge, I was talking specifically about Anthony. So if you're out on Anthony, then you're right. I don't know who.
I think Alex kind of showed me something.
Dude, Alex is a party trick guy. He's not a real guy. He's always coming up with bullshit.
Good call.
Alex is a party trick guy. All right. Well, in any case, that's our recap. It went a little long, but hey, what do you want? To not have flowing conversation with.
Hey, I got some background info before you wrap it up here, Rim.
All right. I always forget that. Let me have it.
Lee gave an interview and he talked about how he got on the show. He was actually scouted. So they came to him. You know how we talked about last bonus episode about how ABC probably knew about his racist tweets? Well, they scouted him and reached out to him on Facebook and said, asked him if he wanted to be on it. So you mean to tell me that they didn't know about this, Rib?
If you missed our bonus episode, we talked about the Lee tweets and the Kevin Durant revelation. And yeah, we both agreed that ABC had to know. They had to know about the tweets beforehand.
They reached out to him.
So was this interview like him trying to save face? Like, oh, well, what
no,
was
this
the
is
point
before
of
the season started.
The interview
it was? It was just a random, it was, you know, we see you're on The Bachelor. Someone interviewed him.
Gotcha. Okay.
And they asked him how he got on, and he didn't apply.
Here's the other thing. I don't always buy that. How many contestants have we heard say, oh, so-and-so applied for me. My friend said, no one wants to admit that they applied to be on The Bachelor or Bachelorette.
That's true, but he's very specific. He got a Facebook message from someone on the show, and they asked if he'd be interested to try out.
Hey,
I don't know.
If you want to buy into the guy who's got snake oil in his DNA or snake in his DNA, then you go ahead. Do it so at your own peril, AB.
I'm just saying, ABC's just as much of a snake as he is.
Yeah, that's true. Here's how I like to. We'll put a bow on that. I think ABC knew. I don't think Chris Harrison knew. Because I love Chris Harrison, and I would be deeply saddened if he did.
I'm leaning towards ABC knew about the racist tweets, and they brought him on.
Sexist. They're mostly sexist. Let's also keep that in mind. There's sexist, and he's not a big fan of certain religions. We'll leave it at that.
Yep.
So it's a lot of stuff. Just bigotry in general. General bigotry.
All bigotry wrapped into one. They knew about all that, and they brought him on to stir up drama. I think that's what happened. That's okay. The most likely based on what we know so far.
Definitely. Any other off-screen stuff you got?
Nope.
I read something about last week's episode that said Jack Stone and Rachel actually kissed, but they chose not to show it because it was, like, really bad or something. And that kind of might explain why Jack Stone was acting like a total weirdo to her that last episode when they showed him, like, you're just so great. Like, they might have just got done making out, so.
Okay.
Anyway. Well, hey. That's all we got. Hour plus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Rosecast. We appreciate it. If you have not done so already, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts and also Stitcher. I'm going to be better about giving out that link for the non-iPhone weirdos. But that's the reality. Some people don't have iPhones, AB, so we gotta accommodate those folks. Also, follow on... Twitter, RoseCastES, and also I think this is the last week that you can join the ESPN ABC Bracket Challenge. There's a link in the show episode description, but any other things I need to remember here, AB? Special announcements?
I don't think so. Refer a friend program. It's going on right now, Rim.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about the refer a friend program going on. What's the incentive there?
No incentive. It's just a way to say thank you for all the... weekly entertainment your good friends Rim and AB provide you. You refer a friend, they enjoy it, and we thank you.
We appreciate that. There's no physical thing that we can give you or any monetary reward for that, but it is refer a friend week here at the Rosecast, and also every week thereafter. It's always refer a friend week, so we appreciate every single one of you who has referred friends. Thank you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.